From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Tomorrow, New Hampshire will decide whether it becomes the 23rd state to forbid unions from charging non-members a share of collective bargaining costs. Its Republican-dominated legislature has already passed a so-called right-to-work bill, but that was quickly vetoed by Democratic Governor John Lynch, and tomorrow the legislature will try to override that veto. As New Hampshire Public Radio's Josh Rogers reports, the vote is expected to be close.
It's busy outside Representatives Hall at the New Hampshire State House these days, and not simply with the professional class of lobbyists who tend to roost there.
My plan is to speak with as many representatives, whether I know them or not, to ask whether or not they're supporting the governor's veto.
Claire Helfman is a retired nurse from a union family who says she's shocked that a bill lawmakers here have rejected almost ritually is now on the cusp of becoming law. A few steps away is sheet metal worker Rick Shea.
We have our way of life in New Hampshire. We're right now 4.9% unemployment, way below average. So for us, we feel if not broke, don't fix it.
Shea's view is shared by top state labor and economic officials. They say no business inside or outside New Hampshire has ever told them that right to work would prompt them to expand or relocate here. But as this bill picked up steam, the business lobby got behind it.
What drives state economic growth? First is whether or not a state's got an income tax. New Hampshire does pretty well with that. The second is whether or not a state's got a right-to-work law.
That's John Kalb, director of New England Citizens for Right to Work, speaking at a State House news conference. He was flanked by conservative and Tea Party activists. They worked hard during last year's elections and are working hard now for a law that some say would have been almost unthinkable before Republicans' big 2010 election gains. The GOP went from the minority to holding a 3-to-1 legislative edge. But even with that margin, right-to-work backers admit the override is still touch and go. Kevin Smith leads a conservative group, Cornerstone Action.
We've been calling our legislators nonstop, letting them know that this is why the voters put them in their position last November.
Right-to-work's fate here likely rests with the 400-member New Hampshire House, where, unlike the state Senate, the earlier votes on the bill weren't veto-proof. House Speaker William O'Brien says he's convinced the needed two-thirds vote will happen.
Right-to-work is what the people in New Hampshire want, and members of the caucus are listening to that, and even if those who have some concerns about the legislation are going to be stepping forward and saying yes.
Or saying nothing at all. O'Brien's leadership team has also asked Republicans who oppose right to work to leave the hall during the override vote, a move that's counter to the spirit of a rule requiring lawmakers to vote if present. But regardless of the final tally, Lee Quant says the real vote on the issue won't be taken at the State House. He's a Republican who was removed from the House's Budget Committee for opposing a separate effort to limit collective bargaining rights. He says he's repeatedly warned fellow Republicans they're playing with electoral fire, but he says they aren't listening.
So let them go. I mean, we're just going to duke it out. This is not going to be the last vote on this issue. The last vote's going to be in November of 2012. That's the last vote.
If the override succeeds, New Hampshire would be the first state in a decade to enact right to work and the only state in the Northeast. For NPR News, I'm Josh Rogers in Concord, New Hampshire.